Welcome into another episode of the Vigilant Sports Pacers podcast. Today I'm on location on the west side of Indianapolis off Georgetown Road, coming to you from Shoot 360 Indy, a new basketball facility with all the goods inside. And I'm talking with former Pacer Fred Jones, who's the owner here. Fred, I appreciate you taking some time here today.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming to check us out.
Let's first talk all about where we're at and why you decided this was for you, because I got a feeling for all those professional athletes while you're still in the pros and then afterward. I can't imagine how many offers, how many people are coming at you, both from requests and needs to, here, put your money here. We're going to make it grow and go big time. Why Shoot 360, Fred?
Well, basketball, one, is something that I'm very comfortable with and something that I know that I've done my whole life. So, you know, that was something that I always felt like I was going to get back to. I was coaching at the University of Oregon and finishing my degree when I got the opportunity with Shoot 360. And then, you know, I wasn't interested in a lot of these big facilities that people are building around and have five or six courts and that you're hosting tournaments. I wanted a real business model in a gym, and I got it in this. And when I got to Shoot 360, my thinking was, man, I've been playing basketball all my life. I've been in every gym. And then when I got in the gym, it was different than what I expected. And that was the only time I walked in a gym and saw something different. So I said, yeah, absolutely, I want to get involved.
All right, so take me through the process of this idea being presented to you, maybe traveling to visit other facilities that are already up, and then the time it takes to have all the plans, get all the permits, and build this thing out.
Yeah, it was. It's definitely a lot of work. You know, like I said, 2 years ago, I was on the coaching staff at University of Oregon and was finishing my degree. And after the season was over, I was trying to figure out whether I was going to stay there and, you know, join the staff, or what's next. You know, what else am I going to do? And I had a friend that had told me about Shoot 360 about a year before that. And I just, you know, kind of shrugged it off and didn't pay it no mind. And June, 2 years ago, game seven of the NBA Finals, Cleveland and Golden State, my friend invited me over to his house to watch the game and the family, and he lived by the Shoot 360 in Vancouver, Washington. So right before the game, he was like, let me run you up here to the gym real quick so you can see it. So we drove us to the gym, got in the gym, and that's all we talked about the rest of the night during the game was set up the meeting. Like, I'm ready to come in and talk to the people that own it. Craig Moody is a former college coach in the Portland area, and that this is his baby. This is what he's created. Another guy named Kirk Brown, who owned a couple businesses and done really well, has invested in it and been a big part, and, you know, got to meet them and see what they're about and where they wanted to take it to. And we meshed, and they needed me and I needed them. And so it worked good. It wasn't a one-sided partnership. Mm-hmm. It was something we could do together and try to make this thing grow.
The thing with it is it's not just a gym or two or three gyms together. It's that next step. It's pretty much all digital. There's a court in the middle, but for the most part, they're surrounding hoops that are attached to a monitor and all that. Explain what's going on there for the kids.
Yes, yeah, so we this gym, we have one NBA-sized court. We have eight shooting cages, which are in a pie-shaped form that are roped off with each cage. Each shooting cage has a 70-inch TV above it and also has what we call a NOAA system.
Watch some basketball and football on that TV.
Yeah. It also has a NOAA system, which tracks the arc and the depth of your shot every time. So every shot they shoot, they get a readout. Somebody's talking to them on the screen, and they see a picture of a number system that relates to the arc that they put on the ball. So every time they shoot, they get to correct it instead of waiting for a workout and you're done and you don't know if you've done it the right way. You just got a lot of shots up.
Because bad repetitions is way worse than even coming out here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So so the NOAA system is a big part of what we do. And then we have a lot of proprietary technology with different games and stuff that the kids are able to do in a compete factor and compete against each other. We have what we call a shooting league, where there's 4 minute quarters and you play a whole game and you're competing against the next you know, the next pod next to you, the next shooting cage, or you can compete remotely. Like I could play a team in LA in the LA facility here. So
it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Describe your average client at this point. You're what, 3 months in? Is this geared more towards the high schoolers? Is it those elementary, middle schoolers that you're trying to kind of shape their shot at this point?
I mean, it's a little bit of all of it. I think 75% of our members are probably that age 9 to 15. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we do definitely have quite a few high schoolers and, you know, even college, and we've had pro athletes in here. We feel like we have the ability to, you know, to help any type of athlete. You know, our courts, our trainers that I employ, everybody, we can have a 3-year-old kid or a 25-year-old all pro. We feel like we have something for them.
Got to believe on this NBA-sized court, you have some games running, whether it's 10 o'clock at night or whatever, I'm sure, because courts are in high demand, especially indoors.
Absolutely, absolutely. And good courts, good wood, you know, it's a difference between – you know, what guys that are playing for a living, you know, how they're taking care of their bodies and everything. So they want to play on the right surface and everything. So.
I was telling Sean Bolden, one of your trainers, as I came in, I go, ooh, this place still has that new car, that new place smell.
Yeah, we need to keep it that way for a while. I mean, it's we go through a checklist every single day on cleaning supplies and what we need. So we want to keep it looking good. You know, we feel like that old saying, if you look good, you play good. If our facility looks good, we can get good training out of here.
Play good, pay good, eat good, live good. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love that one. CJ Miles turned me on to that one last year.
Okay.
He said that a lot. What has been the biggest challenge maybe here in this third? Let's take the whole year. Maybe it was in the construction process or obtaining members. What has been maybe the thing that's caused a headache?
For me, you know, in this, it's kind of what comes first and what should I be doing? What should I spend more of my time with? Is it being in the gym? So if somebody comes in that, you know, I'm definitely not a figurehead that just my name is on the building. I'm here trying to get it done every day. But do I need to be in here all the time? Should I be out in the community promoting it and getting in front of people and letting them know that we're here and what we do? So that's probably been the biggest challenge of what do I do? Do I spend my time here? Or do I spend my time out in the community trying to drum up us some business?
Yeah, those first few months, do you want to perfect, let's say, what you're doing and really get the system down? Or do you want to make it aware so you can add to your membership and have a nice trajectory of growth?
Absolutely.
At the jump? Yeah. You also have a couple other business interests in moving forward. Do you think you'll stay in this kind of realm, being a business owner? Or do you have other aspirations, maybe more geared towards basketball? Because, for instance, over the summer, I saw you several times at Bankers Life Fieldhouse during the pre-draft workouts in May and June as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, basketball is, you know, you never know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, honestly. I know Shoot 360 is in my future. This is what I want to do. You know, I want more than this facility. I want 5 or 6 down the line. So this is definitely what I want to build myself on. As far as coaching, I've always been interested in that. That's why I went back to the University of Oregon so that I could go back to get my degree so I could have that option, you know, down the line. When I was at the Pacers facility this summer, if anybody know me, I'm a huge Duck. I'm an Oregon Duck. I played there. So I had Jordan Bell one time that I came to see. I had Dylan Brooks another time that I came to see. So it's really just coming there to support, you know, and show those guys that I care about them. You know, I coached them at Oregon, so I wanted to just be there for that moral support.
And you got Kevin Pritchard and members of his staff, Portland guys. Oh, they were out in Portland I don't know, 8-10 years.
I played for them at one point. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Forgot connecting the dots there. So you have a pre-existing relationship before he even got here.
Yeah.
So coaching would be maybe one of the end-game goals. Perhaps it wouldn't be GM or president, evaluating versus coaching on the court. You seem like a hands-on type of guy.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure which way it would be. I love the business side of things now, so I love the business of basketball. So probably that more than coaching at this point. I mean, a GM, I've always dreamed about that, being able to construct, you know, a group of guys to go out to try to win a championship. I mean, that's the ultimate. I try to get me four or five guys in here.
That Let's
I
get
can,
it going.
Yeah, that I can put together to beat anybody else. So I think that's always in my heart.
You were drafted in 2002 by the Pacers. How long do you feel it probably took for you to realize that while you are a professional, while you are getting paid and playing a sport you love, you really are a business yourself and you're in a business. So yeah. People make business decisions.
Right, right. I honestly don't think I realized that soon enough. You know, I had heard it, but I didn't understand it, I don't think. You know, and then actually after my third year with the Pacers, I was up for a contract extension, and I didn't get it. And so I was like, man, you know, what's going on? I thought everything was okay. And then I had to realize quickly that it was a business and that you got to go about your business. You can't sulk about it. You got to continue to work and do your job. And it's a job. And, you know, once I learned that, then, you know, I understood it a little more.
From a former player's perspective, what do you think about when you see the type of money that's being thrown at these guys, especially last offseason, more so than this summer?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know,
isn't there a little bit of you that's like,
absolutely.
I wish I was drafted 10 years later.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on my mom and dad all the time. Like, why did you have me so early? Like, I need it 10 years later. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, it's the business of basketball. We made more money than the people before us. You know, and so I think it's a sense where we just got to, you know, be happy for the guys. You know, I love the game of basketball. I'm a fan of these guys. So, you know, I want them to get what they can get.
Fred, why'd you settle down in Indianapolis? Why are you still around here?
Yeah. Because I'm in a basketball business and supposed to be in a basketball state. Mm-hmm. It honestly made sense. Like I said, I was here for so I still had a house here. I moved my family back here right before my first son was born, so 8 years ago.
Okay. So your original house from your first contract maybe here?
From my last year with the Pacers, I bought a house, and then, you know, I kept that house throughout. And so we came back here for both my kids were born here, and we started a couple little businesses, and we were doing that. Then I moved back to Oregon, like I said, 2 years ago to – finish my degree and then go on this college coaching job. And then when I got to Shoot 360, they asked me, where did I want to take it? Where, you know, what city did I – they gave me the option of what city I wanted to go to. And I said, well, we'll go back to Indianapolis.
So you had not finished your degree until recently?
Correct. Yeah, I was – as soon as the season was over my senior year, I left and went to go train and try to get ready for the draft. And then – you know, honestly, I should have went back that summer and got it, but
that's what they always say, because if you let it hang over you, you may not get it after all.
Right, right. And believe me, it's really tough. It was really tough to go back and be the old guy. You know,
how many credits did you have to make up? Because I'm sure at that point you probably had to go double back because it had been a decade.
I needed about 38 at that point, you know, going from needing probably about 12 before. Yeah. So yeah, it was a struggle, but it was good. I got to spend a year with the team, so you know, school and basketball, it made it a lot easier.
Oh man, I think if I lived on a college campus again, I would never want to leave. But maybe once you have those responsibilities, you have a couple kids, or you have married, and then you have a business or two or three, that maybe that changes your opinion a little bit.
Definitely, it's a different. You know, you don't just get to do what you want on campus at that time. It's, you know, you definitely have a role that you have to play. Like I said, I was on the coaching staff, so, you know, I'm spending a lot of time with the guys, making sure they're doing the right things and keeping themselves on the straight and narrow, you know, along with being at home with the family and trying to help my sons, you know, get to their goals also.
Having gone through it and then gone back on campus, what's maybe one thing you would have told yourself when you were in college, whether how to handle situations or go out more, go out less, what have you?
Definitely make yourself more available for other students. You know, a lot of times as athletes, you stick with only athletes, and you don't get out and venture out and learn new people and kind of understand what they like and don't like. You're always around your own core group of
it's your own fraternity.
Absolutely. And so you don't it's so many people on a college campus. You never know, you know, how you can connect, you know, down the line. And I think if you have a better relationship with more people, then you never know what can happen in the future.
You can open many doors in a variety of areas. And absolutely. I think of you in business and how many smart businessmen that are worth millions of dollars now might you have been sitting next to in a class or walking to or sharing a bus.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've had a couple Ducks in the locker room last year, a couple of them, Joe Young.
Aaron Brooks.
And Aaron Brooks. One thing we always talk about within that locker room is Nike, and as Joe calls him, Uncle Phil. Yep. What are the benefits, and what is it just like being like Nike's right-hand team, if you will? An incredible amount of uniforms and gear.
Definitely that. But more than that, it's support. You know, it's having somebody there that without a doubt loves, you know, what that school represents and what you're a part of. And having his support and willingness to sit there and talk with you and go out of his way to, you know your name, know your family, know all of that. Like, you never think a billionaire, you know, in that sense should have anything to do with you.
How and often did you see him?
I saw him quite a bit.
I wasn't sure if it was once a month or just at games, or was he stopping by practice every Monday?
No, not every, you know, he don't come to practice. He'll show up to games, to big games. He don't come to all the games. He's at football games because there's once a week. So, you know, I over the years, I go and sit with him in his box and, you
smart
know,
man.
Always continue that relationship. But he's been great. You know, Nike has always been big for me. I was a Nike athlete, throughout, and they've done a lot for me. Even after my freshman year of college, I worked at Nike at the corporate office and did an internship for 12 weeks. So I've always been in on that side of it, too.
Was that just for the corporate discount?
I wish. No, I was, you know, it was a sports marketing opportunity that they gave me. And, you know, I got to meet unbelievable people that I have a relationship with still today. You know, for me, coming to the NBA, a lot of guys' big thing is their shoe deal. And then they have to work with an agent to get their shoe deal, and the agent takes a percentage of whatever their deal. I was able not to have to do that because I had my own relationship. And so through my relationships, I was able to get my deal done before I even had an agent so that I wasn't worried about that.
You seem so smart in that you were ahead of the game, and you knew it was about relationships, both whether on campus – at Nike, and to get those things done. I bet most kids that were your age did not understand that and still today do not understand that.
Yeah, well, honestly, you know, I had good people around me. You know, I had really good parents. And I probably didn't know that those were the right things to do until I was a part of it. You know, when somebody gave me the opportunity to go do the internship, I was probably like, man, I don't want to go work all day. I want to be on campus and hang out. Mm-hmm. But they talked me into it. And then when I did it, then it was the best thing for me because of the relationships that I made.
So now living in Indy, we'll frequently see you at Pacer games. What's it like then being on the sideline and seeing how things change both from the atmosphere, the giant video board, but then also considering, hey, I was out there 10 years ago. That used to be me.
Yeah. It's crazy to even think. Like, I'm so out of being a player mode and into, you know, being dad and being – you know, a business owner, it's almost awkward to me to even put myself in that position that I was there. You know, I'm more into, you know, I enjoy the game. So I want to go and see a good game and see, you know, good players.
Yeah. What do you think about today's game where right now going into the season, we can almost guarantee at this point that Golden State will win?
I mean, I think that has always happened, though. I don't think this is something new.
It just seems like more dominant than usual.
Yes, but, I mean, how many times did you go in a season and you didn't think Michael Jordan was going to win the championship? You know, and if it was Shaq and Kobe and you knew that they were going to win. Like, we still had these teams, but, yes, it's a different mode now. The media is different, everything, and they build it up in a different way, I think. You know, but I think the league has always had super dominant teams. They just didn't get promoted the same way.
How would you have handled social media if they had it in your playing days?
I honestly don't know. We talk about that in here all the time. I'm like, man, if if I had Twitter or Instagram or something at that time, like it's so much, it's a lot easier to promote yourself, but it's a lot easier to get yourself in trouble too.
Double-edged sword. Yeah.
Right, right. So you definitely have to use it in the right way. Like I said, I feel like I would have handled it the right way strictly because my relationship with my parents and how I never wanted to do anything to make them look bad, you right. know, would have been my whole focus. So I hope I would have did it right, but I can't guarantee that.
I'm sure, like it or not, the first thing people think about you when they think of you out on the basketball floor is the slam dunk contest. Is that accurate for one?
Oh, absolutely.
What more do you want to be remembered as a player? I think more than anything, too, with the Pacers.
Yeah, well, I honestly used the dunk contest to give me confidence and a platform to try to play the right way.
And it's interesting you say that. I'm thinking exactly back to Glenn Robinson III. This season, won it. His confidence was through the roof. And now I think he truly believes he has a place in this league.
Right, right.
So what you were feeling?
Absolutely. So that was my second year in the league. My first year, I didn't play a whole lot at all. I think I only appeared in 12, 13 games out of the whole season. So that was, you know, my second year where I was just in the lineup and probably getting 16 to 20 minutes a game. And you're looking for a time to shine and a time to, you know, to get make your mark in this league. And the dunk contest gave me that opportunity. And then from seeing the dunk contest and being in it, now you want to prove that you're a real player. So, you know, you get your time on the floor, you want to be able to knock down shots and make plays for other people. And I think that's what it did. The confidence level was just through the roof. If I could perform on this stage, then in a game situation where I got my teammates with me, I definitely can perform at that stage.
I know it didn't directly involve you, but it is the biggest regret of your playing career, everything that took place up in Detroit?
The biggest regret is, of course, not winning a championship.
Yeah. You guys were destined to win. I hate to bring up bad memories, Fred.
No. I mean, of course, I think that was one of the more talented teams in NBA history. Mm-hmm. I think we definitely would have had a run at the championship. I mean, we had some tough teams, but we could have definitely had an opportunity to win a championship then. I understand things happen. You know, Detroit, I wish it wouldn't have happened, but it happened and you have to deal with it. I don't think we can go back and say, oh, if it didn't happen, then this would have happened. We don't know. We don't know if something else would have happened, an injury or anything. So, yeah. You know, I'm content, but I would have loved to have an opportunity to play for a championship. Out of the five teams I played on, the only team I went to the playoffs with was Indiana, and this is why I always talk about my time with the Pacers, because it's about playoff basketball, and that's what you want to be known for.
For whatever reason, it's always brought up at the time. You know, here's the 15th anniversary, here's the 20th, whatever it is. And the thing that's often played up is what apparently Ron Artest said in the locker room was, hey, guys, you think we'll get in trouble for this? Do you remember that? Is that accurate?
I got a lot of stories. I try to keep them to myself, but... But, yeah, we had an interesting conversation in the locker room that night. And, it changed everybody's mind frame the next day.
What guys do you still keep in touch with on a more regular basis? Throughout the league, maybe Pacers or not.
Right. I mean, Jermaine O'Neal is still a friend of mine and somebody I communicate with. T.J. Ford, who played with the Pacers later on, but we played together in Toronto, is one of my better friends in the league. Quinn Richardson is another one that I communicate with. Even some of the guys that are in the league now, I have a relationship with also.
Here at the Shoot 360, I see your wife kind of running things around here. Obviously, she's co-owner, if you will. But is she kind of the feet on the ground, making sure everything gets done appropriately in a smooth manner?
Actually, not. She comes in.
She's just hanging out
periodically.
Okay.
And does her thing. Of course, it's hers too. So yeah, she can control it when she's here. But we got a manager, you know, that runs most of the stuff, and I'm here on a daily basis. So, I feel like I'm in charge, but I don't want to be that just overbearing person. So I kind of let people work and do their own thing.
One thing I didn't ask you about the location. Why this location?
Well, when we were looking for a location, we were looking for a pre-existing building. And so I looked at about six different locations throughout the city, and I felt like this one was exactly the right space, good bones of the building. And I felt on this side of town, there was nothing like, you know, I feel like there's nothing like this anywhere, but no real basketball facility on this side of town. So close to the freeway, easy access. I thought it was a good location.
What is the best way for someone to learn more about this facility and what you're trying to get accomplished and allow for kids to do here?
Right. So, of course, our website is shoot360.com. All our social media platforms is shoot360_Indy. But honestly, I need people to walk in the door.
That's the biggest thing.
Absolutely. You know, when you look online, when you look at videos, it still looks great, but it's not how you feel when you walk in the gym. So, you know, we are encouraging people to just walk through the door and let us give you we give a free workout to everybody that comes in, that pre-registers. So we want to be able to give you that free workout and let you see what we do, to even see if it's conducive to you, if you mm-hmm. feel like this is what you want to be a part of.
Is it geared more towards shooters too? Obviously, shooting is in the name, and there's stations for shooting. There's also a wall I've seen where you can bounce a basket, like your passing and those sorts of things.
So it's all skill development, you know, and the skills that we focus on is shooting, passing, and ball handling. So all of those, I think, get a lot of the attention, but it's all skill development.
What's one thing you'd really like this place to leave a mark on Indy at?
I wanted to give kids confidence in their games. When they leave here and go play in their games, I want them to feel like I've put the work in. You know, I've been in the gym and got my reps up, mm-hmm. and more than, you know, I know we're going to make kids more skilled, but we want to boost their confidence even more so that they feel like they're a good player when they get out of here.
So it's not only giving them a location and somewhere to hone those skills, but it's also mental, because you guys probably didn't have sports psychologists back when you were playing, right?
No.
That's become a thing. For instance, the Pacers have a guy contracted on staff that'll travel with them very often.
Right. Yeah, no, we didn't. And we see so many kids in here that has decent skills but don't have the confidence to show it. And, you know, that's what we want to do. And I tell a lot of parents in here, I want this to be more than just a gym where they come work out. As a staff, when kids have games, we want to go to their games. We want to be a part of them. We want to make sure if they come in here and they got homework to do, they can go upstairs and get some help with their homework before they get to work, you know, before they get to play ball. But it's more of a family atmosphere than you know, just you're coming in to work out. We know every kid's name. We know their parents. So we try to have more of a family atmosphere.
Last thing I wanted to hit on with you regarding another type facility is what the Pacers have done with the St. Vincent Center. It was pretty cool, I thought. Probably about 10 alumni players were on hand, including yourself, for the grand opening several weeks ago. Just what do you think about that place, the majestic type place it is, where guys can go in at 1 in the morning and have incredible resources at their disposal?
Right. No, I think it's unbelievable. It was great. I was glad I got an opportunity to go see it. I took my son out of school that day so I could take him with me to see it. But, yeah, it was something that was needed for them. You know, the practice facility in the gym is great, but it's just not a lot of space. And when you start doing more stuff during the season, it's hard to get – you know, that pregame workout in, you know, a lot of places. The teams that it kind of took me to when I played for the Clippers, and they had just built their practice facility at that time. And it was very similar to this one. This one is a little more bells and whistles, of course, because it's a few years later. But it was unbelievable to just have a space of your own, you know, that you can, you know, get in there and spend all your time in. And that's what they have now.
And it's nice because it's just right there. Like the Clippers, I think, is miles away, right? Because Staples Center is right there in the heart of downtown.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't believe it. I walked in the tunnel underneath and then got in the arena, and I was like, what? This is where it goes? So, yeah, no, it's unbelievable.
Fred, I appreciate you taking time here today, and then best of luck with this venture. And we hope it succeeds, and we hope there's not just this one, but an Indy, maybe 4, 5, 6, like you were talking about, down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming.